This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
See, that's the thing I always worried about when it came to radio telescopes. We're listening to signals, hoping the signal will somehow get to us, number one. Two, understanding that if it's a signal that we can pick up, it was sent so long ago that two-way communication is impossible. And so many assumptions. Again, when we send out signals, because we have all of these radio waves going out, how far can they go, and how far away can they be detected from?
Yeah, and I think it's just a matter of it would be confirmation that humans were not, or at least, you know, are not or were not the only intelligent species out there. Someone else is sort of yelling into the void like we are. And like I said, even though their message is 10,000 years late, at least it shows us that you know, intelligent life can exist elsewhere. And I think this would be game-changing. And I think that we would really sort of question maybe our place in the universe. Or maybe not. We would just kind of keep going about our lives and, you know, keep buying Starbucks.
How far do our signals travel as they are?
Sure.
I mean, if we're sending out, you know, I mentioned recreating with AI the Superman TV series from the 1950s. Okay, how far does that TV signal of the stations that received it in the 1950s, how far can that signal be detected from?
Right.
How can it be separated from all the schmutz in outer space?
Hypothetically, hypothetically, there is really no distance, but the amplitude is inversely proportional to the square of the distance. So it gets weaker and weaker and weaker the farther out that it goes. But that doesn't mean that it can't be detected. We're detecting super small amounts of different kinds of EM radiation from what are now planets around other stars, ourselves now. So, I mean, who's to say? If we can do that now, well, that's pretty good idea that, well, somebody could probably detect some of the stuff that emanates from our system if they really wanted to. It's whether or not they're listening, I guess.
This calls for another whiskey, I think.
Right. Well, we're looking at say, I mean, if you're saying back in the 50s, right, then, well, you're looking at, what, 70 light years, right? So in our local group. Maybe we're getting too sciencey here for people. I don't know.
No, I'm not sure we're getting too sciencey, Randall, but I think that this is sort of the perk of it, right? You know, you have a conversation over a beer or a whiskey or whatever, and you get into these kind of complicated, you know, what ifs about our literal search for other intelligent life in the cosmos. I this is literally what, like, the debrief wants to be, right? This is literally like we want to provide this ability for people to just literally wake up, read their articles, and then, like, later on when they're at the bar, be like, you know what, man, I read this thing about SETI and they're, like, beaming radio things, and they're like, that's what we want. We want people to have these types of conversations about what does it mean for our future as a species.
Absolutely awesome. I just love the idea. And that's exactly what I was, you know, trying to get going here is that kind of a conversation based on the sort of content that you'll be bringing with the Debrief Project.
I wrote a short article on Seth Shostak, and then he said he predicts by 2036 we will have confirmation that another intelligent species has evolved.
Yeah, he was saying even within the next, within the next 20 years. I think I read someplace. That's big for him.
Yeah, and it was really interesting, and I sort of asked him why. It's all in the articles. So I'm giving you spoilers now, inside information to the articles that we have written so far.
Awesome.
But he sort of expressed, he said, you know, if we just sort of follow the speed at which computers evolve, right? Every year, computers double in speed. Every 2 years, computers double in speed. You know, eventually, by 2036, he says, you know, SETI computer systems will be so quick that they'll be able to, process so much information at such a quick rate that he said, you know, by 2036, we will have basically investigated roughly a million star systems, solar systems, I suppose. And he says, you know, at 2036, we will have seen a million of them. And he says, really, at the end of the day, it's a one in a million shot. So let's just hope it's 2036. And then he said, you know what? He said, even I will bet everyone in the world a Starbucks coffee that by 2036, we'll know another intelligent civilization at least existed. Like we'll have something from them, evidence that they've existed. He's not making the claim that there will be two-way communication, we'll be communicating with them. But what he says is, we will hear someone out there yell, hey. And we'll hear it by 2036. So at least we know someone out there, long gone maybe, or still kicking around, yelled hey at one point. And he bet everyone a Starbucks. So we had a great conversation about this, and, you know, I wrote an article about it, but, you know, it's an interesting idea. And I think, you know, you get into some computer technology, some computer science, you know, the evolution of how computers have changed over the last, you know, few decades, and also where they're going to go and where SETI's going to go and what SETI wants to accomplish.
The thing that bothers me about all this with the space program, in the 2030s, we will be going to Mars. And I think, okay, we landed on the moon in 1969, had a few more trips, and the space program sort of went kaput.
Sure.
For so many years. And so, therefore, by 2001, there was no Space Odyssey because we kind of gave up on everything.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of political reasons, economic reasons.
Sure.
I mean, you had the 1980s, which was like the most financially conservative era. You know, all the programs were abandoned in the mid-80s, I believe, right? I think, you know, after Challenger, right, everything sort of stopped. It was, what, was that 86? So, yeah, I mean, I think you had a lot of other reasons to sort of slow the space program down. But I think now, you know, we're changing, right? We're kind of coming back to it. I think we have been coming back to it. I mean, I think that there's a renewed interest and a renewed desire to understand the unknown again. And these could be political, this could be cultural, there's a whole smattering of reasons. But I think people are compelled to always explore. And I think that maybe we had a setback, you know, for a few decades where no one wanted to do anything related, but I think that's changing. I think we have this new push to go to the fringes of human understanding and explore them as much as we can. So you know, at the Debrief and other magazines like us, you know, I think we're sort of riding that wave. I think we're going to see a fundamental shift into a more space age and new science and new technology that you know, 10 years ago was unimaginable, but today is becoming reality.
Okay, what we think though about getting signals from someone out there who says, hi, it's us. Okay, where does that leave UFOs? Because right. If UFOs are spaceships, as a lot of people believe, why aren't we getting signals now?
Well, yeah, and that's the big sort of question, I think. And like I said, I had a very long conversation with Seth Shostak, not to keep dropping his name all the time, but he sort of said, you know, that's my question, right? Like, if UFOs and aliens are coming here and they're visiting from another planet, like, why aren't they doing anything? Like, why aren't they, like, just, like, showing up and saying, hey, right? You know, I mean, ultimately, if humans went out into deep space and were, you know, trying to find other intelligent life, we would most likely announce ourselves quite loudly and just, like, start screaming and yelling at the top of our lungs and saying, hey, we're here. And he says, you know, how come the aliens aren't doing that? Like, what is it about them that don't just simply announce their presence? And that was sort of his big criticism. Whether he's wrong or right, you know, I don't want to comment. I'm not sure if it really matters. It's just his opinion. But
well, it is an issue that should be discussed. The question here is the origin of UFOs. If they are what they might be to most people, okay, we have these unanswered questions, and Seth is asking a very logical, sensible question. Can it be answered? More to come with MJ, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Hello, Paracast people. I'm Greg Carlwood, the host of the Higher Side Chats podcast, an uninterrupted and action-packed interview-based show where I talk to some of the brightest minds for our troubled times about all things paranormal, occult, esoteric, and conspiratorial. After 10 years, we've heard it all. Alien moon bases, archons, hollow earth, technocratic and biomedical agendas, magic, mind control, and Lovecraftian monsters. Oh my. Usually, the first hour of the show is free, and the second hour is for members who sign up for the Higher Side Chats Plus at $8 a month. But praise be, we're giving Paracast listeners 2 free weeks of Plus when you use the all caps coupon code PARACAST. Go to thehiresidechats.com, sign up with the code PARACAST, and dive into the nearly never-ending archive of great interviews I've been lucky enough to get over the years, from David Politis to David Icke, and many, many guests not named David. Check it out. You're going to love it. All right, Gene, was that good? Can we use that one?
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have 2 convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So what does MJ Benias think UFOs are?
Oh, man. That's a Gene. Come on, man. You don't... Buy me flowers first.
Now you're on the hot seat.
Now I'm on the hot seat.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm lighting the fire.
I can see that. What are UFOs? I think UFOs are a lot of things. I think UFOs obviously are misidentified prosaic objects, aircraft, the moon. I think, you know, Venus often plays a role in all this. I think, you know, you have obviously, you know, some drones and test craft and all that. So you have the typical kind of stuff. But I kind of fall into the similar sort of claim that I think Hynek made in the past and maybe Valli made in the past and others that, you know, there's going to be that percentage that we don't really know what they are. I've also spoken to a lot of people and interviewed a lot of people who have, you know, claimed to have seen anomalous objects. They would have no reason to lie. They'd have no reason to make it up. Clearly they saw something that they didn't understand. They had an experience that they didn't understand and that was sort of anomalous. So I'm not prepared to sort of throw the baby out with the bathwater here. I'm not prepared to say that, you know, for sure it's not aliens or for sure it's not, you know, interdimensional beings or time traveling humans. It could be. It could very well be those things. The problem is what I don't have is I don't really have the evidence to pick what it is, right? I don't want to fall into the realm of like, I believe it's X or I believe it's Y, because like just like John Keel famously said, right, belief is the enemy. What do I know, right? All I really know sort of truthfully or what I know for a fact is that people encounter and experience really strange things that don't make sense. People encounter these bizarre moments, these anomalies that sort of pop into their lives. I know that.
Right? Like, if you know that, then you must believe that. I mean, this is another thing that sort of gets to me because the idea that belief is our enemy, I don't think is fair. If we didn't believe the things that we do on a daily basis before we decide to do them, we probably wouldn't get anything done. At some point, we have to say, look, it's reasonable to believe that this is the case based on the evidence that we've been given. And proof is simply evidence that's sufficient enough to justify belief in a claim. So
maybe, you know. I don't listen, I believe in gravity, but gravity, it doesn't care if I believe in it or not, right? So I can wake up every morning and say, I don't believe in gravity, but it still exists. Or I can believe that the world's flat, but the world doesn't care. It's still round.
Yeah, but the world might be offended by the fact that you don't believe in it.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it'll be, you know, I you know, I'm not sure really, Randall, like, I don't know. Like, I don't have factual evidence to prove that UFOs are alien spaceships or interdimensional beings, so then I have to fall to belief in order to make a claim.
Well,
I don't have to do that with gravity, for example, right? I don't have to believe in gravity, but it still works.
Right, but at the same time, let's say you're dealing with firsthand witnesses, and let's say those witnesses are pretty well educated and highly trained, perhaps like, say, someone like David Fravor, okay? Now, when he says that what he saw with his own eyes wasn't anything like he's experienced in his entire life, and he believes doesn't even exist now within our own technology, then that's a significant statement. For him to say he believes that is a conviction by someone with impeccable credentials that should carry some weight with respect to the phenomena, whatever it is. Now, we might not know for sure that this tic-tac object wasn't some sort of maybe advanced countermeasures that we just don't know about, and it wasn't actually a craft at all. It's just something that was seen. It may not be even a craft. But whatever it is, it was truly extraordinary to someone who is experienced enough to know what it would have been or should have been or could have been within an array that exceeds just about, I don't know, I suppose it wouldn't be fair to put out a number because then you could say, well, how do you know that? But I would say it's fair to say that his experience exceeds most people on the planet when it comes to actually what it is he's doing and knows about when it comes to the capability of things flying in the sky, because that's what he does. He's a flight commander on an aircraft carrier, you know?
And I don't necessarily disagree with you. I think David Fravor bumped into something that he did not know what it was. and it was sort of anomalous, right? And I think we can use that term sort of fairly here. Like, for the sake of argument, we'd say it was anomalous. But he's never made the claim that he says, well, but I know it's aliens, or I know it's otherworldly, or I know it's interdimensional. He's never said that, right? He said, I encountered something that I cannot explain. It doesn't make sense. But he's never gone down that road of saying, well, but I do know it's aliens from, you know, whatever. And I think that's the problem, right? I think when we say, you know, what are UFOs, we can take the step. And I think it's fair to take the step. You know, UFOs exist in the sense that people have experiences with these anomalous vehicles, craft, whatever you want to call them. But then taking that, the jump next, the next leap is really a leap of faith, because what happens after that is, I don't know what I saw, or I bumped into something weird. I had an anomalous experience, but it's aliens, right? And then you're like, well, hold on a second here. We don't really know that bit.
Okay, well, then again, it depends on how we define alien. I mean, this thing that Fravor saw was alien to his experience. It's alien to everything we know about the boundaries and constructs of our known civilization. Nothing we know can make something like that if we presume it was some kind of a craft. Using the term alien for that is perfectly reasonable. That doesn't necessarily mean it was E.T. from Zeta Reticuli. We don't know that. We just know we didn't make it. We don't know where it comes from. It's beyond our experience. And if it's beyond our experience, I think we can go that far. And we can say, I believe that it is beyond our experience, and that's okay. But I also completely agree with you when you take that extra step and go, well, now I believe that it came from the same planet that Ray L visited, where he saw Jesus and Muhammad and so on. Well, that's another kind of belief that, and you used the word perfectly, faith. Faith in something that doesn't have sufficient evidence to justify belief in a claim. It's just a claim that's made that you have to take for granted, or at the person's word is true, and that's where the problems are.
Right, and I think a skeptic would also sort of say, and I'm gonna go down the skeptical road here. I'm gonna play devil's advocate.
I'm
not necessarily my opinion here, but I'm just gonna play devil's advocate. A skeptic would say, well, listen, you know, we're basing this conversation upon the claim of a few pilots, and the video itself that they shot, right, the Tic Tac video from 2004, is really not enough to suggest that this object or whatever is not man-made or otherworldly. There's just not enough data, they would say, right? So we're really basing our argument, in this moment, Randall, you and I are basing our argument upon the testimony and the anecdote of a few people.
We're going to break here, and we'll have more to come with MJ Benias and Gina Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Michigan's governor is asking legislators in her state to approve a $100 million plan for coronavirus relief. Governor Gretchen Whitmer sent a letter to Michigan legislators asking for their support for her plan to provide direct financial support for Michigan families. The state legislature will have to reconcile Whitmer's request with an estimated $1 billion shortfall in revenue next year. The United States has passed 4 million coronavirus cases for the month of November. There's been an average of more than 170,000 new cases a day as the country has tallied more than 13 million cases since the beginning of the pandemic. November's case total is more than double that of last month, with 1.9 million new cases recorded in October. The U.S. set another daily record for hospitalizations on Saturday as well, with more than 91,000 Americans in the hospital because of COVID-19. This is USA Radio News. As Congress returns to Washington on Monday, many members of both parties say that their top priority should be passing another round of coronavirus stimulus. But the current round of negotiations have been so far fruitless. Congressman James Comer says this bill should be targeted where it will do the most good. The Kentucky Republican told Fox News that he would like to see specific help for the restaurant industry in the next relief package.
We passed that CARES Act, and it made a difference. And the PPP loan program was probably one of the most successful emergency loan programs in the history of America. Moving forward to the second stimulus bill, we need to have targeted stimulus. The restaurant industry, I think that's the one industry that there's bipartisan agreement that there is a desperate need for assistance.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has proposed a broad $2 trillion package, while Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has brought a targeted $500 billion bill to the Senate floor. Lawmakers will also have to pass some form of spending bill by December 11th to fund the government in order to avert another shutdown. This is USA Radio News.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call them toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Of course, that's true with most UFO cases, MJ, that it largely depends on testimony.
Right, and a skeptic would sort of point out, you know, unfortunately, we don't have really any evidence to back up Fravor's claim apart from his, as well as the other pilots who were there, their story as to what they saw. And that doesn't make facts, and that doesn't make science, is what a skeptic would say. And to a point, I agree with them, right? Like, you know, I don't want to base a new vaccine on anecdote. There's logic to that, and there's rationality to that. And I think that's why sort of skeptics are important. I think that's why we need skeptics within the UFO world, because I think they really point out some of our blind spots. But, you know, on the flip side of that,
let's deal with the non-flip side first. First of all, yeah, I'm on board with all of that for sure. I've seen these videos. I'm not particularly impressed with them. I've looked at a couple of the explanations by the skeptics where they've done the trigonometry based on the data in the video itself for the object in question and clearly shown beyond any reasonable doubt in my mind that we're not looking at some kind of an alien craft. We're looking at what could be a drone or a balloon at some distances between the craft and the water, the Go Fast video, for example. No, the videos in my mind are not sufficient evidence, right? I was only looking at the situation with Commander Fravor and the people who visually sighted this after being vectored to it by onboard radars and radars on the ships. So what you've got is a situation where you've got a radar visual confirmation of an object in the air by real people. And what I don't think is fair is to say, well, because they're real people, that it doesn't count as evidence.
We need to be clear here, right? We don't have that radar data, right? So again, that's just testimony, right? And that's where the skeptics would say, like, listen, if you have the radar data, show it to us, because then we can actually use that, versus you're saying there's radar data, but we haven't seen it yet. Right?
Fair enough. Absolutely fair enough. Totally fair enough.
And I said, like, I don't necessarily believe that. Like, I'm not totally convinced by the skeptics' argument that for example, Fravor and the other pilots didn't encounter something anomalous. Like, I'm not convinced that they didn't. But I see the point, and I think the UFO community, I think ufologists, and I think anyone kind of looking at this topic needs to be very critical and needs to be very pragmatic. It's okay to not pick a side, and it's okay to kind of sit back and say, you know, I see what the skeptics mean by there's just not enough evidence. But I also see that you have trained observers whose job it is to kind of know what's going on up there, and when they say something and they saw something anomalous, you know, they're probably telling the truth, and there's something to be said for that. And I think it's okay to be pragmatic. I think it's okay to lean back and exist in this kind of nebulous realm of, you know, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. And I think where the UFO community really starts eating its own tail is they demand you show your cards. They demand you pick a side, right? They demand you sort of draw a line in the sand and say, what do you think UFOs are, right? They want to pin you into a hole so that you have to exist. Unfortunately, that's not real life, right? Like yeah. You know, we ought not to be like that. It's okay.
But hang on. I mean, some UFO people will do that. Others, certainly not myself, wouldn't.
Sure.
I guess my main point here is that, okay, let's just do a little mind experiment when it comes to belief. And I think this will illustrate it perfectly. And we'll use the example of David Fravor. Let's say in one instance, he does an interview and he says, I don't believe that what I saw was anything that was extraordinary. This can be explained by our own technology. It was most likely just part of the training exercise that we don't know anything about. Okay? Then you have another scenario where he says all this other stuff he says where, no, I believe that this was something truly extraordinary. I've never seen anything like it in my entire life in my experience as an Air Force pilot. Now, those are two entirely different positions. If belief didn't matter and didn't play any important part in that testimony, then you could look at both of those and say neither one of them carries any weight.
Right, but I think if Commander Fravor said it wasn't really that impressive, we shouldn't really be thinking about this or talking about it, we would never be talking, like, we would never really be having the conversation.
Exactly, so belief is important because he believes as sincerely this experience, right? If he didn't, like you say, it wouldn't matter. So belief makes things matter.
I don't disagree with you. Belief does make things matter. What it doesn't make is facts, though, right? You know what I mean? Like,
it does add weight to a case, though.
Right? Sure, because but you don't have to believe in gravity for it to work, right? In order for me to be compelled by David Fravor's case, I have to believe in him. If David Fravor didn't sort of believe in what he was saying, you know, we wouldn't really care. No one would really care about this. It's the fact that he does believe that sort of compels suddenly, you know, us to look at the evidence that's been presented so far, as well as the other testimony. But unfortunately, it doesn't really make it a factual event. We just don't have enough data to analyze to say it's 100% factual or 0% factual. You know what I mean? Like we can't make a decision. We can't make a really truth claim.
Yeah, I can hear what you're saying there, but what I do say is that it does add weight. So when you have people who are reputable and have the kind of experience as someone like him does, then the reason we take it seriously is because their experience gives weight to the idea that this actually occurred.
Yeah, but I mean, that literally every religion is based upon that notion, right? Someone has a belief and you just simply believe in the prophet and their prophecy is like, quote unquote, real. I mean, a whole bunch of people believe that, like, some guy found gold tablets in Utah and Christ came to North America in the 1800s, and people believe in it and follow it, and it became real to them, right? Doesn't necessarily mean it happened objectively. Doesn't mean it's actually factual, but you have a whole religion called Mormonism that's literally based upon this principle. And I think that's where we really need to be cautious with any of this. And I think where we see sort of religious aspects of ufology or any sort of paranormal belief is we need to understand that belief isn't necessarily fact, and sort of going back to what I said before, we need to remain pragmatic.
Oh, I'm so sorry, but I just cannot equate, you know, a squadron leader on an aircraft carrier with a religious prophet. You know, it's such a straw man.
It's not a straw man. It's simply we're just taking his word for it.
He's not trying to promote himself as any kind of a prophet. He's describing an experience that happened to him.
Okay, so it doesn't mean that this guy can go into his living room and look at his family and say, pray to me. Because I look at him and like he's some kind of loon. Of course, when it gets to politics and religion, the subjects can become touchy. So let me make it clear, we're not here to attack anyone's religion. We're just talking about a set of facts about something that did happen and how people reacted to what happened. Let's just leave it there and let us continue our discussion with MJ.
That's the disconnect. Like, it's one thing to say whether someone did have an experience where there was some paranormal event that happened that we would consider paranormal. They saw some strange craft. They saw some odd phenomena and so on. And they're relaying this as an objective, in an objective way that this happened to them, and then turning it into a religion. Those are two entirely different concepts.
But, you know, it raises another issue here, whether to some, then the UFO mystery is a religion in the making, the belief that we're being visited by higher beings, extraterrestrials from another star system, and that some of us communicate with them. We have interactions, we have channelers, we have abductees, we have whatever. So we are in touch with these higher beings, and therefore we believe them to be superior to us, to have our best interests in heart. And therefore, it is possibly a religion in the making to some people. Whether that means anything more than that, I don't know. I'm not a religious expert. I should have, you know, bring back David Halperin for that. MJ Benias joins us with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin? And as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Hi, this is James Fox. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
By the way, MJ is going to join us on After the Paracast, available to subscribers of the Paracast Plus, and I have some cultural questions to ask him. But I'll just bring this in, since I dropped it in, we're in the final segment of our regular show, MJ. Do you think there are things about the UFO mystery that may relate to a religion in the making?
Of course there are. I think you have a lot of individuals within the UFO community who have sort of clearly turned the UFO discourse or the UFO sort of narrative into their own personal little faith slash cult, whatever you want to refer to it as. And I think ufology does have, and I think sort of UFO discourse does have a religious component in that, like, and literally the conversation Randall and I have been having, where does belief stand and does belief make fact? Dabbling in this idea of sort of where the real exists and where maybe the mythological exists. So I think that there's definitely faith-based components to the UFO community, to the UFO subculture. We also have within ufology a sort of cult of personality. We sort of lionize certain figures and characters because of their maybe contributions to the field or how they've moved the discourse in a certain direction or not. Individuals like Jalen Hynek, you know, Jacques Vallée are sort of lionized and they sort of have a sort of cult of personality. They're viewed as geniuses and forefathers and all this. So of course, there's a sort of religious overtone, I think. Where I think we need to be careful, though, is clearly, I think that there's enough weirdness out there, maybe. And again, maybe this is a belief of mine. There's enough weirdness out there. There's enough anomalies out there that to sort of indicate something is happening. But again, I'm also fine to sort of, like I said, lean back in my chair, remain pragmatic and say, you know, that being said, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. I'm not going to go to war or fight anybody over it. My belief turns out to be not true. Okay, that's fine. I was wrong, I guess, where I'm not sure if some people are willing to remain sort of that pragmatic.
That is so important, isn't it?
In their faith. Yeah.
For people to be able to have a conversation, and it's fine where, you know, when it comes to belief, it's not so much whether belief represents fact, but whether or not belief has value and what value it has in the proper context. So if we believe, like you say, if you believe something, and then, you know, I might believe something too. Right now, I believe the best explanation for UFOs in terms of how they're defined within a certain parameter as alien craft would be an extraterrestrial interstellar explanation. Now, maybe some evidence will come along to change that belief. And if we're not ready to change our beliefs based on the better evidence, then that's where the real problem is. I think it's okay to believe something to the extent that it fits the available evidence as best as possible. And if something better comes along, then change your beliefs. Beliefs don't have to be fixed in stone.
I guess it depends who you talk to. There'd be a lot of religions who would disagree with you.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. I mean, let's just say it ought not have to be.
Ought not to be. Yeah.
Then that's me just representing an opinion, of course, and I'm trying to persuade people to be more open-minded and to look. I think essentially you and I are quite of the same mind in that a lot of this is just talk for the sake of we like to talk about this sort of stuff, and I think it's absolutely fascinating and wonderful to have you on the show to do that.
Oh, I appreciate it. You know, it's always an honor to be on the Paracast. I truly enjoy sort of the depth of conversation that we get to. And then it sort of just ends on a civil note where, you know, we don't devolve into animals growling at each other.
That is such a shame. Speaking of lionizing certain people in the community, you are well acquainted with one Chris Rutkowski, who does the Canadian UFO survey and donated some 30,000 UFO-related documents to the University of Manitoba in Winnipeg, here in Canada. The last time he was on the show, he spoke very highly of you and says, you know, we've got to have a good conversation with you in the near future, so here you are. I'd like to know how you crossed paths with Chris.
So when I first sort of began my foray into this, I was sort of a young man fresh out of university, and my academic background was in sort of literary studies and culture studies. I was really interested in studying subcultures, and I sort of bumped into a few people who ran a paranormal investigation sort of group, and I sort of volunteered and said, listen, I would really like to talk to some of the people who, you know, claim to see ghosts and have sort of paranormal encounters. So I said, you know, I don't really want to go ghost hunting with you, but, you know, do you mind if I sort of help out and maybe run your emails and answer emails for you and be a sort of secretary, and in exchange, you know, I can ask these people questions and get some information just sort of on background. You know, they agreed, and I did actually go on a couple ghost hunts with them just for fun. And they're the ones who introduced me to Chris Rutkowski and said, you know, we sometimes talk to him and we sort of consult with him on occasion for stuff because he's sort of an expert in sort of the paranormal in Canada and Winnipeg, where we're both from. He and I spoke and he said, man, you know, you're into subcultures. I got a subculture for you, and it's the UFO community. And I was like, okay, you know, tell me more. And, you know, I think we went for beers or coffee or something. I can't remember. He sort of, you know, filled me in on this sort of UFO thing. And I started reading books. He gave me sort of a stack of books to read. And I read J. Allen Hynek and sort of the classics. And then I started writing about it. And here we are today, sort of 7 or 8 years later now. You know, we're good friends. And not only that, I blame him for everything that's happened in the last 8 years of my life.
We blame Chris Rutkowski, too, quite often when he's on the show. But he does a killer impression of Ming the Merciless.
He sure does, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. We actually use it for the show. But that's from the more recent version from the second iteration of Flash Gordon, or third, actually. There was the original with Larry Buster Crabb. There was one in the 50s on TV last season or two with an actor named Steve Holland. And then Sam Jones played in the movie version where they had the theme song Under Pressure from Queen and David Bowie.
Mm-hmm.
And the Max Van Sydow version of Ming is the one that we hear from Chris Rutkowski. But the music, because it's out of copyright, that I include is from the original movie. That's the Ming theme, from which John Williams adapted the Darth Vader theme. I don't know why we're doing this. There's a lot of cultural stuff I want to talk to you about, MJ, and I want to bring it up in the After the Paracast, our premium show, since you're going to be hanging around for that. We've got you held down with straps and everything, so you can't leave unless your kids wake up. But before we let you go for this episode, take a minute or so to tell us more about Debrief.
Yes. So for all of you who are interested, please visit www.thedebrief.org. You can find us on Twitter at Debrief Media, as well as on Facebook. It's a brand new science and technology news site that's going to deal with some of the topics, I think, that a lot of the fans of this show will thoroughly enjoy. You know, if you can't find us there, you can find me on Twitter at MJBenias, or you can come to my website, MJBenias.com, and you can find all of my work, as well as sort of links to the Debrief and all the work we're doing there. So, you know, I would really implore people to come visit. As I said, you know, it's a site owned and operated by journalists who are just trying to tell the news in an efficient way. And, you know, we're not owned by any corporation or conglomerate. So every click and visit matters. So I hope to see some people on there and communicating with us and tweeting about it. And obviously any questions or comments are greatly appreciated.
We will certainly keep track of it and talk about it as much as we can. You can find us on Twitter if you look for the PowerCast. You can also find us on Facebook, a couple of PowerCast community group thingies. We also have branded merchandise for the PowerCast, 4 different logos. We have the T-shirts and the throw pillows, and we're still working on the site to make it even better for you with really good prices. So check out thepowercast.shop, thepowercast.shop. We also offer the PowerCast Plus, where you get a version of the show free of the network ads, plus the After the PowerCast podcast, which quite often continues the discussion that began here. And we've roped MJ into staying with us for a while for After the PowerCast this week. We're offering special prices for subscriptions for the duration of the pandemic, which we hope ends yesterday, but you can take advantage of the price. And if you buy a 5-year subscription or a lifetime subscription to the PowerCast Plus, while they last, you get an exclusive free coupon for The Phenomenon. That's the movie from James Fox with 3 hours of extra. Check the PowerCast.plus for more. The PowerCast.plus for more. MJ, thanks for joining us on the PowerCast.
Thank you very much, Gene and Ben Randall. It's always an honor.
The PowerCast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the PowerCast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
It what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.